Hi, everybody. Welcome to the I Save That podcast. My name is Judy Thompson. I'm the Director of Clinical Education here at AVA, joined today by my partner in crime here, Tony Socher. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
And today we have two special guests that we're really excited about. In the social media world, they're already famous, infamous, however you guys want to know them. And we have the Ivy guy, Dennis Wu. Hi, Dennis.
Hey.
Hey. And we have Katasha Mirage. Katasha, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And what is your, I want to say call sign, but remember, I already told you I'm a little bit old. So what do you go by online?
Oh, so my @ is Ivy Key. So Ivy_KEY.
Beautiful. Well, again, thank you guys for agreeing to play with us today. This will be really fun. So guys, we're going to talk about social media and vascular access and how that is used today, especially by the folks younger than 50 out there to learn and what are some of the responsibilities. And right now I'm going to turn it over to my partner in crime here, Tony, because this was her brilliant idea and she's going to run the show today.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm super excited to talk to Ivy Key and the vascular guy. The way I looked at this is I am older than the internet. And a lot of the people that we're working with now have lived in a world where they've never been without social media. And for all of its flaws, social media can be an incredible tool to provide bite-sized information for people that they can then take and turn into great patient care. The things that these creators are coming out with are incredible, and they're incredible visuals. The vascular guy has a tendency to make props, and he puts out there to where you can see the things that we know and we try to explain. And there's so many times where I want to take his videos and be like, this is why you're not getting in. You have to put the bevel all the way in. And Ivy Key does such a great job of answering questions and explaining things in such a simple way. And again, with the visuals, I think one of her really great videos is so simple. It's how to tie a tourniquet. So they're doing amazing things in the vascular access world within the social media space. And I think that's where nursing is going right now. We've always been told, don't do something because it's the way you've always done it. And these people are thinking out of the box. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you guys and start with, why is this an important space to be in?
Ladies first.
Okay. I've kind of always had a passion to teach, and I realized that this particular area it's such an area that just needs more education. It's funny because I work in a university as well. I work as a clinical instructor and a lab instructor, and I see the gaps that a lot of these new nurses have. And I know that because they're young, they love social media. They love it. It is their go-to for literally everything. It is like their Google. They will sooner find it on TikTok than go to Google and find their answers. So I wanted just to create a space where they could, you know, find those types of answers, answer those questions that, you know, they might be seeing in practice that they just don't understand. And nobody in the space that they're in is giving them the answers that they need. Even just opening their eyes to something new, like a lot of the responses I get is like, wow, I didn't even know that was a thing. Really just providing education to a group of people who look for education on TikTok, just being that source for them.
Like Katasha said, this is a platform that our younger clinicians are in. It's almost like halfway in a virtual world, like we see in the movies, like in The Matrix, versus being in the real world. And we consciously go back and forth, but a lot of our younger clinicians are spending a lot more time. Statistically, what TikTok, people are on 95 minutes a day. It's over an hour and a half, I think, right? Yeah, by 5 minutes. Instagram, 30 minutes a day. And that's not including all the other social medias they have at their disposal. So they're spending, you can't be on TikTok and Instagram. And I know a lot of people have both. So that's pretty much more than 2 hours a day on these platforms every single day. And if you divide that up into, I don't know, a 2-minute video a year, that's more clinical education that we can provide, kind of sneak it in there while they're looking at memes and sneak it in there, those 2 extra minutes. And that's the minimum, those 2 extra minutes a day. You get more clinical education hours on TikTok and Instagram than you will from the hospital clinical educators or even trying to get their CEUs. And so it has shifted, their attention has shifted dramatically. And I wanted to be where their attention was. Like Atasha said, there's a lot of information out there that's not being taught at all, or we're kind of making things up. Not that I don't make things up every once in a while, but that's usually at the limit of my research. It's like there's no studies at all about these. So let's pontificate and let's kind of dream for all those who are beginning their research careers. Like, this is an idea for you to play around with because no one's done it yet. You're welcome. You know, like, let's get you funding out there and think of these new ideas. And it has happened. It's been actually very interesting. I found this to be, at first it was just, let me see, since I couldn't find any material for myself when I was starting to do MSTs and pick lines, I tried YouTubing, TikToking, Instagram, nothing was there for me to find. It was all just regular blind stick PIVs, and you know how I feel about that. And so I was like, okay, well, there's a hole here. There's no demand, I don't think, except for me. So let me see if anyone else cares. And so I just started putting out videos about, you know, things I was learning and knew over time, and kind of grew with my followers, especially when they were calling me out on stuff I was making mistakes on. And it was great. Like, it stings. It's like, ugh, I'm not wrong. And then you look a little deeper and you're like, God, I'm so wrong. So it actually helped me to learn a lot. Yeah. So yeah, it's an important platform.
I think from the standpoint of, on social media, people can be mean. You're blinded, so you can say whatever you want to say. You can do whatever you want to do. But I think to its benefit, that creates an environment for people to ask questions they may not have asked because they're afraid someone's going to judge them and get information they may not have gotten. And then also collaborate. Like you said, if you put something out and it's not exactly what they think is correct, then you have that conversation and it creates that conversation. I think you're both great at that in responding to people. I've seen both of you to where you're like, oh, well, this question, and you put your little bubble up and you answer to that. And I think that it does, it creates conversation, even though it's not an interactive video, it does create that and put people on the right path. I think that's why it's partially an amazing tool for education, like you said.
Yeah. And for those who are thinking about starting out, I know a lot of people are like worried about HIPAA and stuff, which we'll talk about at AVA this year. So if you want to know how to protect yourself legally and what are the legal ramifications of social media content and things like that, Russ and I are in talks of collaborating for that presentation. So it's going to be very exciting.
And in the world we live in, people are constantly asking, legal, is that legal? Am I going to get in trouble? What is that? And I will say Russ has some incredible presentations. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing this in September in Denver.
Yes, that one's going to be a really interesting one. Yeah, at the AVA conference, Colorado. Tony, you mentioned the forefront of their brains. Even if they, like, there was one controversial video I did of the needle rotation while in the vein. And there is so many trolls just talking about like, hey, you idiot, or, you know, all these profane, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was my third time posting that same video. And for some reason it hit the algorithm this third time around. And what I love about that controversy is that it starts to bring in the forefront, because the point of it was to reduce endothelial injury. And Amit Ball, Lee Steer, and then I forgot who the other clinician was. They did a talk yet, I think last night or the night before.
Yeah, Vance Clement.
Yeah, so he was talking about, and that, and Peter Carr and Andrew Ballmer did the mechanism of fluid dynamics and dwell time. And going off of those studies, we're completely ignorant of endothelial injury glycocalyx erosion and things like this, that these are the forefront of research that are just happening and getting published very recently. And so a lot of what I'm talking about starts to go over their heads, but at least it gets them to start thinking about it. And it's all these comments compared to, and for, sorry, I'm all over the place, but for those of you listening, like, I don't know if I should start an Instagram thing or a TikTok. If you're worried about like HIPAA and all that, that's fine. Start with just reading the INS guidelines. Even just reading word for word the content on there will blow people's minds. And even to this day, I'm reading things. I'm like, oh, push pull for blood draw. What the heck is that? And so things like that just blew my mind. And I'm sure there's other clinicians out there that if you just read that out or even posted videos of just the text of what the INS said, Shay, chest, all these guidelines that we know as specialists are completely oblivious to a lot of people out there. And so if we could just get them a couple seconds here and there, a couple minutes of exposure while they're going about their day, their 200 minutes a day of their time, and we just sprinkle a little bit of vascular access knowledge there, we'll start scaling up everyone's didactic information like at scale. So that's why I'm encouraging people to create their own accounts and start posting things like even the most basic, like the CHG disc. I know a lot of us are moving away from it, but just don't rotate it the wrong way. Those little things, like people are like, what? I thought it secured it. You know, so yeah, I want to encourage people out there listening. Hey, just start an account and do the basics, do the fundamentals, go from there. And then, of course, you can reach out to me if you have any questions.
Tisha, how about some of the ones that you put out and you've been trolled? Does it take some of your wind out or does it inspire you to keep going on?
You know, I'm kind of glad that Dennis talked about that because he has tough skin, tougher than me. He's able to like communicate with these types of people or ignore them. I remember one of the videos that I posted, it was just a student at one of my courses that I had done, and she was just practicing putting in IVs, and it was on a fake arm, and she put a 22 in an AC. We were just going over the basics of just insertion. So for me, it wasn't a big deal. Oh my gosh, the amount of hate I got because she was using a 22 gauge. And so the idea of, oh, we have to be using larger size catheters. And I was just like, is this what the world thinks? Like, you know, just those things, those misinformation. And then, you know, trying to answer each one of them. With me, I definitely got winded. I was like, I was trying to respond to literally everyone, like everyone.
Gosh. And then
another video, so, you know, that went by and I just got so tired. I just was like, okay, I don't really care anymore. I posted another video and that one really, really hit. And it was actually me posting a clip of, you know, a clinician talking about holding a syringe wrong, and it got so much heat, but it was like verified. It was like, there was research behind it and like people didn't understand it. It was just so uncomfortable. I almost wanted to delete my account at that point. I was like, there's no way that I can keep going, you know, with all this heat. But I ended up just taking that video down. I actually left just the clip of the guy talking about the research, but you know, it kind of just blew over. But then I was like, you know what? I think that there's enough affirmation in my account with other videos that I've put to help me know that it's okay to keep going. You know, even if I said something that might not have felt accurate to them, it's okay because there's so much more here that, you know, they can research and find out. And, you know, it's not everything that I say that was wrong. You know, it was just something that it was very uncomfortable for people. So, yes, I have experienced that. I think at this point, I'm not as delicate and, you know, frustrated when people come at me about stuff. It definitely did teach me to, you know, make sure that I'm on top of my research before I post it, you know, so making sure that I've, you know, read the research, read the INS, understood it clearly before posting it. And then just being mindful of how I said what I said, what I say, so that people understand it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It does.
To your credit, and to speak to something Dennis said, there was a video you posted about looped tubing, and someone came back on that, and I saw what you did. She pulled out the INS guidelines, she put them down on the table, and she read them word for word.
That was great.
And I went, yes. So no, it's great what you guys are doing, and you are bringing them to the guidelines and things like that. I don't know how many places I've been that you say, well, Kaidoki says this, or Chest says this, or Shays, and they're like, what? Even Ava, you say Ava, and a lot of times they don't always know what that is. So it really does a lot to help get that information out there, and it's incredible what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In that, what do you feel your responsibilities are? Because we are essentially providing education on a social media platform that is uncontrolled. It's an uncontrolled environment, and we're putting things out there. So what are your responsibilities in that space to teach people who then are having people's lives in their hands who can cause damage?
Can I answer that?
Please.
Yes. Please.
One of the biggest things that I do is, number one, bring INS, Ava. I get the quotes. I put it up there right behind me so I can point to the words, you know. And then I always say, you know, go back to your facility, ask your educator. So then now it gives them a responsibility to go and find the real answers. And if that person doesn't know, okay, there's a gap somewhere, get that ball rolling. I've told multiple people, especially on that loop tubing one, there was a whole discussion about whether we should be using Kiro's caps on lines and things like that. And one nurse told me, like, I've never done that before. We just loop all our tubing. And that was like standard practice. And I was like, well, go back to your facility and, you know, talk to your educator. Like, what are the practices going on in your hospital? You know, so now I'm giving them homework to go back and question the practices in their facility. So
that's good. I think
that's one responsibility I'm taking on is, you know, I'm not telling them exactly what to do. Well, I might be to an extent. If you're questioning me, that's fine. Question the people you're around to, the people telling you, you know, this is what we're doing here. This is standard practice. You know, get them thinking, is this right practice?
That's fantastic.
That. Dennis, what about you? What's your thoughts there?
So once I started seeing like people actually being interested in this stuff that I was talking about, which I did not expect it to grow. I thought it was just going to be, you know, like 1,000, 2,000 people, everyone else. Yeah, we already know that, whatever. So, but now that I've seen it grow to where it is, there has been an increase. And of course, the more it grows, the more responsibility I'm going to start to feel. But I try to, because it is scary to have that responsibility, because if I'm going to claim myself as an educator or a thought leader or an expert in my field, then I need to make sure that my information is correct. So like Katasha was saying, before I approach a topic, I approach it with as much research as I possibly can or know how to, and then I tackle it. Now, we know, the more we find out, the more we know we don't know. And so as I'm doing these research for some of these posts, I'm starting to, I don't catch what I don't know. So they catch it for me, and they let me know very unkindly or kindly. And yeah. So my I try to maintain a primary objective for like the month or for the year. What is it that I'm trying to achieve? And I'll start from there and then elaborate my responsibilities. This year, it's been to improve patient care at scale, to wake people up from sleepwalking their clinical practice. because we're doing things without thinking about it because we're taught this is how we've always been doing it. And come to find out, with the more that I'm researching, the more that I'm finding out, we're the problem. Like, it's not the catheters, it's polyurethane, it's plastic. It cannot send invitations to bacteria. The veins itself, they don't produce more bacteria. It's how we place it, how we inject things, how we not scrub the hub, you know, right. What is insightful about social media is because of the anonymity, there's opportunity, not guaranteed, but opportunity for more truth to leak out. And oh boy, is there truth about people not scrubbing that hub. And when I saw some of those comments about people like, really? Who scrubs? You know, like things like that, it put some insight to me of how much of the fundamentals are completely missed. So wake them up. Controversy, not controversy, speak in an awkward tone or an aggressive, soft tone, whatever it is. I try to change things up a little bit to get their attention, to actually stop and think, okay, even if they disagree with me completely, that's fine. At least you're thinking about it. That's kind of my objective here. And then, of course, one of the most important things that is very difficult to do is admit when I'm wrong. Because I have to back it up with evidence, and I can't just say I'm wrong because someone said I'm wrong. And so that actually helps me to deep dive deeper into what I said and what I do. And so the objective is just at scale. Let's improve the bar. Let's raise the bar because it's really low. It is almost unethically low, our bar for vascular access and patient care, to the point where I think, and this is totally an opinion, not, how do I say, what's the legal thing? This is not the opinions of Ava or my employer or my sponsors or anyone else in this forum. It is mine alone. Yes. I think that we are the cause of patient suffering as a whole healthcare system. And we are not improving our care when we can afford to. Very operative word. We can afford to improve patient care and reduce suffering, but for some reason, we don't have to go into that now, there's a lot of resistance against improving patient care and reducing patient suffering. So I just want it to be known. Oh, ultrasound? We can't do that. We can't afford it. You can't afford $2,500.
Really? We can't afford not to.
Bingo.
We can't afford not to.
Lee Steer has proved that. I mean, I keep harping about his study, but it's impressive. $3 million savings with 89% one stick until end of treatment for vancomycin in the forearm.
Right.
Yes. So finding that out has really raised my bar to go beyond just first stick success. It's one IV till the end of treatment. Even if it's a central line, I should know if there was treatment plan for it, or if the patient was going that direction, I should have vouched for, hey, I could put in a central. Why don't we just do that? You know, so even with central lines, even with vesicant medications, because I have these skills to do these procedures, it is my obligation to give them that one IV, that one catheter until end of treatment, which is very hard.
It is, but he didn't just do it. Oh, go ahead, please.
Sorry, I'm going to throw a little curveball because I work in a hospital and I see, and I've been at the bedside. I was at the bedside for 10 years and I just took a position as an educator. And I'm not saying to be fair, but to add a wrench, nursing today is not as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. The amount of care that is being provided by nurses, the amount of documentation, the amount of things that nurses need to know and be aware of, it's just scaling up so much. And so when I talk to nurses or when we're talking about vascular access, it becomes just one of the many, many things that they have to think about. And I'm not giving that as an excuse. I'm just saying that I don't think that nurses don't care. I think that it's more so that they just have a lot on their plate. And so if they have a line that's functioning in the moment, they're not thinking long term. They're not thinking brand, the long term thing. And as specialists, we're thinking about it because we're hyper focused in it. But, you know, when one of my nurses is dealing with her cardiac patient who has a PA catheter, and she's thinking about getting her numbers, but also thinking about her other patient who needs to go down to CAT scan for whatever reason, it really is difficult for nurses to kind of think about those things that are not small, but in their eyes, still small because of the amount of tasks that they have to do during the day. So I do think that we need to do a better job in teaching, obviously, but even as in my position, a lot of the things that I do is auditing the care that we give. And it's a lot of reminders that this is how we do care and maintenance. You know, even just going into a room and not seeing Kiro's caps, or, you know, nurses flushing, you know, one continuous hard push. It's because they're in a rush because they have 15 other things that they need to do. So I think what we're doing is great, because now we're opening their eyes to the importance of these things, but also giving them grace and telling them, like, we understand you have a lot on your plate, but let's elevate them the way we give care in this particular fashion.
I love that you brought that up. Yes, they don't have the bandwidth. No, absolutely no. ER, forget it. Now I harp on, I do nag on my ER folks, because I used to work in ER, so I like to tease them a little bit, and sometimes it hits the wrong button. However, I think that just like the medical world has squeezed and branched out into nephro, cardio, cancer, you know, like it subsected into specialties. I think vascular access is going to go that way with nursing. And so that needs to be, I think, one of the biggest things that the leadership in the hospitals or the culture of healthcare can do is seeing that specialty as an actual subsect. Like, we have LND nurses, ER nurses, ICU nurses, now vascular access needs to be in that conversation as well. Yeah, I don't think they have the bandwidth nowadays. And even before, it was really hard. Even in the ER, it's very difficult to be mindful, because, you know, when I have a guy trying to attack me, literally I had to kind of Nelson hold him so that he doesn't attack the nurse next to us. And I have a crashing patient and then DKA protocol, blah, 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 blah. Right, I don't expect that nurse to think about longevity of that. Yeah, put in the AC. Sure.
Exactly.
But it's getting us to realize how impossible it is to do all that and be mindful of vascular access. So we need someone who is able to have the bandwidth to just focus on something that is going to keep the patient alive. So without access, they're getting no medications.
Right.
So. Sure.
I think I'd like to do with that for a shameless plug is that the base knowledge for vascular access, it's not a focus in universities and colleges. Mm-hmm. It's not a focus at all. So they're coming out with a very low base knowledge. And I think that's why they're so drawn to these little tidbits of information that they can apply. As I said before, big focus to get PIV curriculum in all the colleges so we can make that a greater focus. But in the interim, this is an amazing tool for them to get what they may not have started out with.
Yeah. Yes. It was the PIV curriculum, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I was very impressed that, am I allowed to say that Bebron is helping out?
Of course.
Okay.
There's no CEs for podcasts.
Oh, hey, we can say whatever we want. So, yeah, I was very impressed with Bebron, that they were funding this program. It shows, and full disclosure, I'm not sponsored anything from them. I don't get paid by them. They don't send me any free stuff. We're friendly, but we don't actually work. We have no contract together. We have no financial ties. Let's go from there. I think they're doing an amazing job. Any company that focuses on that in that way, I mean, it's not cheap, right?
No,
it's expensive. Expensive, but it's to further the improvement at scale. So they have the same mission that I do. And there's a few handful of companies that I work with that I do consulting with that have the same mindset. At least I feel like they do. And it's a great program. And it's not just nursing, right? It's EMS programs. It's RT programs. Yeah, that's amazing.
And to clarify what you said, it's not cheap for B Braun, but it is right. 100% completely no strings attached free for colleges and universities. There is no risk in implementing this program that's going to put out better patient care in the long run across the board. CIVs are the most frequently
most common invasive device in healthcare.
Exactly.
And just so, because you guys have a bigger following than Ava, and we love that. But if your followers are watching and they're students and they want, oh, I want to get in, your school has to sign up. We will give it free to your school. And with that, you get a free membership to Ava for yourself and your instructors.
Holy crap, really?
Right? Yeah, the instructors. Wow. Because instructors to know the same information. So if your instructor, so Katasha, for you, when you're in educating with your school, if your school's involved with it, your membership to Ava is free because you are an educator. So we don't want you teaching a different thought process, a different way to do it than what we're teaching your students. It didn't make sense to us. So that's how we came up with this program. So
wow.
Now, if you're a one-off, if you just want to come and take the class, then we charge for it. And that has to do with the Sunshine Act, because B. Braun did pay for the creation of the entirety. Now, B. Braun was amazing because you plug them and I'm going to plug them back. I went to them with this idea and they jumped at it and they paid for everything. Oh. And I got to choose all the instructors. Every instructor is VABC. Every instructor is an expert in the field. And they paid for the filming, the storyboarding, the everything. And there's no catch, to Tony's point. Sing it why.
So we talked about all the bad sides of social media posting. let's highlight some of the good stuff, because that's
there's amazing sides to social media. That's how we started this conversation.
So we took out all the bad news. Let's give you the good news, because the good news is what keeps us going. Like Katasha said, we got verbally attacked. However, it was so worth it. Of the positive outcomes that come from people being exposed to this information, it's a huge upside. Enough for me to ignore some of these negative. And trust me, look, people will say, oh, I don't care. It hurts a little. You can't lie. It hurts a little. But the way I approach it is to cope is like, I start out with, oh, they're making a joke or it's sarcastic or something. And so I kind of banter jokingly with them, and that seemed to have helped a lot. Now they may be like, no, you're an idiot. You should lose your license. And I'm like, all right, we should end the conversation. And I just like their comment and then move on. But yeah, positives. I can start, Katasha, if you want to like compile some thoughts. This one is not. So again, this is what we're going to talk about at Ava with Russ. But there were patients who were crying for help on social media. And there's a lot of thoughts about that. I actually had a 4-hour conversation with Swapna about this, which is really interesting convo, very insightful.
Natasha, let's get a story from you.
Oh, I just love when people say, wow, I didn't know that before.
That's awesome.
To change their practice. And that's what you're looking for. When people get excited to change their practice and get better, I think that's probably the biggest reason why I stay. Definitely reaching out to new grads. New grads have sent me messages like, you know, I'm so nervous about this. Thank you for your insertion video, because now I get to see, I actually had a series of videos of using different catheters. And so many people were like, you know, I started working at this facility and we were using the Insights, the BD Insight AutoGuard that doesn't, you know, that's open system. And then I went to this other hospital and they had the BD-Nexiva. We don't even understand the learning curve between catheters. So like being able to see catheters being used, like a lot of people have thanked me for that. And I've also had a lot of people who are about to take the VABC or the CRNI ask me for help with studying. Like, what kind of resources did you use to take the test? So definitely pointing them to all the resources I use, which is obviously on the AVA website, on the website, you know, what strategies I use to study for those exams. So, you know, I've had a lot of questions on that. So just making an impact on the new nurses coming in, the existing nurses who want to become specialists. Those are the things that just make me so happy and make me want to stick around.
That's amazing. Well, guys, we got one more question for you before we're going to wrap up today. Well, I'm going to say two, because my first question is, will you come back and do this again with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nah, I'm good.
Once you're in AVA, you're in AVA. It's kind of like the mafia. You don't get out.
Yeah. That's so true.
And I'd like you to tell the viewers, because we are about to advertise and we're starting our advertising for our conference, tell people your thoughts on AVA conference and the value. We're going to start with Dennis this time. We're going to end with ladies last.
Yes. I had a unique experience, which I think every new person should, this is how they should go through. And I've been trying to figure out, because they're not going to experience what I experienced, which is someone like Jack bringing me, you know, alongside them and just walking me through AVA. Like, he did not mind me sticking onto him like Beyond Honey. You know, I didn't know anybody. I was just like walking around. He's like, oh, there's Judy. There's Shelly. There's, you know, Gibson. I'm like, I don't know any of these people. And it was a little intimidating at first, but he really took me under his wing, and I had a great experience that way. So that was a unique experience. Let's table that out, because I know people are gonna be like, wow, you didn't go through the same thing as I. You're correct. I didn't go through this, someone who just went there for the first time, knew nobody, and had to work to get connected. That's correct. However, compared to the other conferences that I've been to, the amount, like, it sucks when I can't go to all the seminars. When I can't go to, because it's so stacked up, like, I even wrote out a whole schedule on my calendar and I made it to none of them because I was just so busy everywhere else. There is so much information that is juicy, that is tasty, it's delicious, but I can't get to all of them because I don't have the time. Like, I have to miss some of them. So I have to go back to the AVA website and catch it afterwards. That's a testimony to how valuable the information is. Continually learning every year that I go, it's mind blowing. I hope to get to a point where it gets boring, but I don't know. It's a pretty fun group. I'm not gonna lie.
It's not boring for me yet.
the dinners and the happy hours are probably where I learn the most, because I'm talking to people at the forefront of vascular access. The thought leaders are all there. Even industry people like Laura Crick, she is not just a salesperson or just industry. She knows some stuff. And I've actually learned from someone who's non-clinical, which is very, very interesting. So for those of you who are thinking, what is this AVA? I don't know. You know, I've been putting in PICC lines for 5 years, 3 years. I've been doing this, that. It's like a powwow. I'm hoping to break that. I think if you are either just starting out or you're thinking about getting networked, you're like, hey, I'm thinking about going into this industry. Where do I get networked? You will get hooked up. As long as you're working for it, as long as you're not being passive and just being a wallflower, you're actively talking to people. We don't cut people out. In fact, I've seen more people be inviting at this conference than any other conference I've been to. And I've been to a lot. And so this has been the most impressively inviting and very, very, very informational, mind-blowingly informational conference compared to the others. But I'm biased because I love sticking people. So anything that has to do with sticking people, I'm very interested in. So I had a great experience. I'm looking forward to this year.
And I don't think your experience is that off, because even if you don't have a mentor to take you and introduce you, like you said, you can't be a wallflower, but we are incredibly bring into the group. Oh, mm-hmm. Your name, I've met you before. Come on in. I want to meet you. I think so. Okay. Ladies, last words for us.
Well, I think that, you know, I've gone to one AVA conference and one INS conference, and it was just, well, the AVA conference was my first one, and it was incredible. The amount of people, the camaraderie, inviting you in, it's so amazing. But what I would say to anyone who's listening, you might not be a specialist, but if you come, you're going to get something that you can apply when go back to your practice. I don't care if you're a med nurse, ICU, ER, you are going to get something that you can take with you and apply. And it's going to just open your eyes. You're going to be like, what? I didn't even know this. This applies to me in the ER. This applies to me in the ICU. I can take this and really improve my care that I give. So I wouldn't say that the AVA conference is only for people who are in the specialty. Just because you might not place PICC lines does not mean this isn't for you. You place peripherals. You give hair and maintenance to all types of lines. It's part of your practice. So come learn more, and you will find people who will teach you. You will find mentors. You will find possibly a sponsor. You know, you'll find somebody, especially, you know, there are people from everywhere. That's what I love. They're from literally everywhere. So you may find people in your area. It'll apply to you. So come.
Thank you. Guys, this was so much fun. I truly, truly want to make this a series to where we have you more frequently. And Tony, thank you for the amazing idea. I think you're brilliant. But guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
For taking the time.